Ba 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 ba.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dahlia Dasakay, who's a senior political scientist at the RAND Corporation and a visiting fellow at the UCLA Berkeley Center for International Relations. She's the author of Talking to the Enemy, Track 2 Diplomacy in the Middle East and South Asia, and Beyond the Handshake, Multilateral Cooperation in the Arab-Israeli Peace Process. She has an article at CNN, How to Tackle Iran. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dahlia Dasakay.
Thank you.
And you're joining this long and somewhat heated debate that's going on, particularly in the Israeli press. I've been talking to a number of people. I talked to Colin Powell's former chief of staff, Colonel Wilkerson, the other day. He suggested that the most likely scenario for an Israeli strike on Iran wasn't the conventional wisdom is that Netanyahu wants to help out his friend Romney, but rather that Netanyahu's come to the conclusion that Obama's going to win, and by attacking Iran prior to the election and giving Obama a boost, he'll essentially co-opt him and own him, and Obama will be locked into an Israeli policy, which apparently the administration is quite reluctant to participate in. So does that scenario make sense to you?
Well, it's not clear, and I think that there's a real danger of politicizing the Iran issue, and especially in terms of injecting it into the American election cycle. But certainly there's a lot of theories out there. That's one of them. It's really hard to know what the Prime Minister of Israel's motivations are, but there's no question that the timing of this is leading to speculation that there is some domestic context. Whether it's to lock the Obama administration into support for an attack or not is unclear. What is clear is that the U.S. administration is most definitely concerned about an Israeli attack, whether it happens before or after the election, because it feels it would be very destabilizing for the region at large. And in terms of the Israeli domestic scene, I think there's especially a lot of concern about an Israeli attack, which is why I think that Prime Minister Netanyahu, while I think he's serious, may not have as much freedom of action to decide when and where he exactly will attack, because there's a lot of resistance within the Israeli security establishment about a military strike against Iran.
Well, apparently there's growing resistance, particularly in the Knesset. Shaul Mofaz, the opposition leader in the Israeli parliament, attacked Netanyahu and said, asked rhetorically, which administration is more important for you to replace, the administration in Washington or that in Tehran? Explain to me, Mr. Prime Minister, what are your red lines in managing the current crisis with America over Iran? And we know that somebody leaked the notion that Obama had rebuffed Netanyahu's call for a meeting, which, of course, the Romney team seized on, and it turned out that that was not true. So when you're talking about this being injected into the U.S. politics, that is apparently what's got a lot of people like the opposition leader in Israel worried, haven't it, that they consider the U.S.-Israeli relationship more important than and something that could be compromised by interfering in an American election.
Absolutely. And I think that is why you are hearing more discussion in Israel and concern about this issue getting politicized, whether it's intentional or not by Prime Minister Netanyahu. That's the result. And so I think a lot of Israelis are concerned that that the relationship with the U.S. could be jeopardized over this. I think most Israelis believe that the U.S. would ultimately, whoever's the president, would support Israel. But I think, you know, the bigger question is, you know, what is the best way to stop the Iranian nuclear program and its progress? And I think that there are a lot of voices suggesting this needs serious debate. There was actually a report that just came out in Washington today by some very serious former U.S. Generals and senior officials really giving some pause to the notion that even a U.S. military strike would effectively stop this program. It would at best delay it. And so I think, you know, Israelis understand this. They've had their own debates on this. And, you know, whether the timing before the election is the right time, it's really a question of what will best stop or slow this program. And it's very unclear that Israel would get U.S. or international support at this juncture when, while there's very worrying reports about Iranian nuclear progress, it's very important to keep in mind that Iran does not yet have a nuclear weapon. And I think your listeners really need to make sure that everyone understands that, of course, it's a very worrisome development. The IAEA just came out rebuking Iran and should continue to do that over its enrichment capabilities. But it does not yet have a nuclear weapon. And so I think, you know, we need to put all of this political discussion in that context of really focusing on that the serious objective of trying to prevent a nuclear-armed Iran.
And indeed, the IAEA report that you just referenced, Dahlia, was pretty unanimous. 31 out of the 35 member states voted in favor of a resolution expressing serious concern about Tehran's refusal to suspend uranium enrichment. The only country to oppose the measure was Cuba. Now, again, I'm speaking with Dahlia Dasakeh, senior political scientist at the RAND Corporation and a visiting fellow at the UCLA's Buerkle Center for International Relations. She's the author of Talking to the Enemy, Track 2 Diplomacy in the Middle East and South Asia, and Beyond the Handshake, Multilateral Cooperation in the Arab-Israeli Peace Process. She also has an article at CNN, How to Tackle Iran. Tell us more about the report that you referenced that senior military and diplomatic U.S. officials have weighed in on. I haven't seen that report.
Yeah, it's a pretty serious report, essentially looking at a cost-benefit analysis of a military attack, a U.S. military attack that they consider an Israeli attack to a lesser extent. And it doesn't come to any firm conclusions one way or the other, but it really kind of lays the ground of what would be the risks and opportunities in this kind of option. And what it essentially suggests is that even with superior U.S. military capabilities, and this whole Israeli-U.S. debate is all about, or largely about, the question of getting the U.S. to take a more hardline stance or a more unequivocal stance supporting military options. So this is really turning the discussion to this question of a U.S. strike, not just an Israeli strike. And this report is suggesting that even with superior U.S. military capabilities, the U.S. could certainly delay an Iranian program longer than an Israeli strike could do. But it ultimately could not stop an Iranian nuclear weapons program in the longer term without essentially a commitment of serious ground forces, if the objective is ultimately to be absolutely certain the program can't get reconstituted at a later stage. After all, it's very difficult to bomb technological expertise, which Iran has, and that is something that is not going to go away even after a military strike. And the report and other analyses on this issue have suggested that, in fact, a military strike, whether it's the U.S. or Israel, will actually just make the Iranians more motivated to weaponize their program to deter further attacks like this in the future. So it raises a lot of concern, and it's written by serious military analysts and others, and should give some pause to those, you know, weighing this option. And I think, you know, will kind of reflects the mood in the U.S. official circles and strategic circles about this being a very, very difficult option, which is why I think the administration, it's not a political issue, but it's also a judgment of making sure the United States weighs all its options and really exhaust all its other options in terms of trying to prevent this program before resorting to this very serious and consequential option of a military strike.
So perhaps Obama's little quip about Romney jumping the gun in terms of criticism of the sacking of the embassy in Cairo applies here. Shoot first and aim later.
Political, but I mean, there is a sense, and it's not just coming from Governor Romney in terms of the critique of President Obama not being tough enough on Iran and so forth. There are other you know, corners and that are arguing this as well. But I think there is an argument that this is a very, very serious national security issue that should not be politicized. This has too many major consequences for the future of U.S. national security, regional stability, and so forth. And I think there's bipartisan support among serious people, and this report was bipartisan. And it does suggest that before you start making this, turning this into a political football, which unfortunately is what it's becoming, that you need to be, you need to really remove this out of the political context. And I think, you know, we'll see how this election evolves, but I think there's more and more understanding that this might not be the best issue to be confronting the Obama administration on. So we'll see how it plays out. But I think there's, you're hearing from Republican circles some concern about politicizing these kinds of issues.
So, Dahlia, that's okay. Most intelligence agencies, from what I understand, and particularly the United States, do not believe that Iran has a bomb and is some way from getting a bomb. That, of course, is a big open question. They're apparently, though, according to this IAEA report rebuking Tehran, there's an acknowledgement that they are moving fast to enrich uranium up to 20%, and the stage to take it up to weaponized grade is not a particularly big leap from that. So what do you think's going on? On the one hand, the Ayatollah in charge of this theocracy has said, and he's the absolute leader from my understanding, he's basically said it's un-Islamic to have the bomb and we're not going to do that. But at the same time, they seem to be hedging their bets, making enough fuel or getting enough fuel ready so that they could go to that step. So what would change that calculus, or what is that calculus?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And it's very hard to really understand Iranian motivations and get inside what this regime is thinking. But I think that you're suggesting that this is a hedging strategy is probably closer to the truth than anything. And it appears that, you know, it's not clear that this government is interested in a weaponized program, or for that matter, any Iranian government. But it is clear that Iran does see strategic value in having a potential nuclear capability that can later be weaponized if necessary. And so it seems that that is the direction they're going, just getting to the threshold point where they can have enough enrichment capability, as you suggest, at the 20% level, which is the serious concern right now of the international community, because it can be reprocessed and enriched much more quickly into bomb-grade material. So that is where the focus is, and I think there is a kind of wide growing consensus that that is what the Iranians are going for. And ultimately, I think what would, you know, change the calculus is probably, and I think the contours of a deal were starting to form in the P5+1 negotiations that have been going on, which is that Iran ultimately would like some recognition of its right to produce or indigenously enrich uranium on its own soil. But what would have to happen is they'd have to see some advantages for giving up the ability to enrich at higher levels. And, of course, what they're really looking for is sanctions relief and some recognition of the program. So a final deal would probably look something like making sure that their enrichment capabilities were capped at a low enough level and were intrusively inspected, to an extent that the international community would have confidence that they would know if Iran was changing course and moving toward weaponization, and then other options could open up. So I think that that's the contours of a deal are getting pretty clear. It's a question of the political constraints on both sides allowing that kind of deal to happen, which are pretty significant and in an election year, pretty unlikely.
So as painful and torturous as this negotiation track has been, if there were a military attack on Iran, then all bets would be off, right? And then there would be a real, as you pointed out, there'd be a real incentive for the Iranians to go for broke, wouldn't they, in terms of getting a weapon?
Yeah, that is the real concern that a lot of people who have expressed caution about a military option suggest, which is that, you know, if there's a bombing campaign on Iran, obviously they're not going to be sitting at the negotiating table anymore. They may be more motivated to weaponize. At that point, you lose the capability of the IAEA, which you presume would be out of the country during a military campaign, kicked out. You really lose all ability to inspect, and that's the best way we have to really know. Of course, there's satellite imagery and the like, but that's the best way of having people on the ground to really know what's going on. And the other, you know, longer-term concern, not an immediate issue of a strike, but a longer-term issue, which would be that if it was done in a unilateral way without international support, something that provoked an international response, which would be a different situation, but if it's done unilaterally by either the U.S. or Israel, that there's concern this would erode the really very difficult and painful development of a coalition, really putting pressure on Iran and focusing on its violations of its commitments and so forth. And so the concern is that that erosion of that international pressure combined with increased Iranian motivation to move toward a weaponized program, because at that point they have very little to lose, you know, the combination of that would be pretty devastating in terms of really being able to prevent an Iranian bomb down the road. So I think that's why there's a lot of focus now on other options, as difficult and as limited as they may be, in trying to slow the program and reach some kind of negotiated settlement. It's not going to be perfect, but something that would be short of war.
Well, just in closing, Dalia Dasakay, the idea, though, that we're talking about what might happen in terms of a military strike that would then take off any restraints Iran has to go towards a bomb, the immediate consequences that seem to worry most people are that Iran could simply retaliate by closing the Straits of Hormuz and in many ways creating a global recession/depression. That's presumably why countries like China have joined the P5+1 to weigh in on preventing such a response. So isn't that the real sword of Damocles here?
Well, that is. I mean, that is a very near-term danger, and I think, I honestly, though, I think there's a lot of people who were a bit suspicious or skeptical that the Iranians would really resort to that. They certainly have capabilities to do so, but it would also be self-defeating because, obviously, they're so dependent on that strait themselves for moving their resources out. But, you know, obviously that is a concern, and the U.S. military is exercising and doing many drills in preparation for that kind of contingency, along with other very dangerous contingencies that worry security analysts, you know, and including Iranians' ability to retaliate with their significant missile capabilities against Israel, against GCC allies in the Gulf, against U.S. military forces positioned in the Gulf, and then, of course, the Iranian lever of international terrorism, which could increase in the aftermath of a strike. So those are definitely the issues that planners are grappling with, and I think are giving pause to many, including many in Israel, which is why much of the Israeli security establishment is hesitant about a military strike because of all these very serious near-term risks.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Dalia Dasakay.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Dalia Dasakay, who's a senior political scientist at the RAND Corporation and a visiting fellow at the UCLA Berkel Center for International Relations. She's the author of Talking to the Enemy, Track 2 Diplomacy in the Middle East and South Asia, and Beyond the Handshake, Multilateral Cooperation in the Arab-Israeli Peace Process. And she also has an article at CNN, How to Tackle Iran. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Michelle Manos. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.